I got a question for you. I want to start out with a song from a commercial. That's always a great way to start a sermon, right? Yeah, maybe not. Do you guys remember it was for a dog food commercial? Dim bones, dim bones, dim. Yeah, it was a takeoff of them bones, them bones, them dry bones. It was them bones, them bones, them butcher bones. So as a kid, I learned the commercial version, and only later did I realize, oh wow, that was actually a real song that was meant to teach us about this text from Ezekiel, this valley of dry bones. So I was like, Why do we want to concentrate on this text that's talking about death and dismemberment and all these nasty things and piles of bones? Because, you know, when I was a kid, when I figured this field stacked with a bunch of bones and stuff, to me, I thought, okay, there's the set for the perfect horror movie. Right? I mean, it really would be. But in Ezekiel's vision, it's not a set for a horror movie at all, is it? In other words, well, it's quite the opposite. It's the set for life, for salvation. When Ezekiel is talking to God and he gets to this valley, he really doesn't understand. Because Ezekiel turns to God and he's like, okay, God, I understand. All things are possible. You can do all things. Obviously, you're God. But still, what are we doing here? And then God gives Ezekiel some instructions. I want to go ahead and read those to you rather than paraphrase. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel did the only reasonable thing in someone who actually trusted in God. What did he do? He prophesied, yeah. Okay, most of us, if we're facing an old battlefield with the bodies of dead, decomposed soldiers, big piles of dry bones, and we heard a voice from heaven saying, prophesy over the bones and I will raise them to life. What would be our response? We'd run, right? I mean, that's kind of the reasonable response. But Ezekiel doesn't. He prophesies over the bones. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. This is great. I mean, it just brings it to life. There was a sound, and behold, a rattling. The bones coming together. So you got to imagine, you know, over the years there'd been, you know, coyotes and all this kind of stuff, tearing at the bones and pulling them apart and scattering them around. So things aren't laid neatly where they just need to be refreshed and restored. Everything's in total disarray. So there's a bone here, there's a bone there, there's a bone from a different body over here, and everything's a mix mash. But at the words of the Lord, the bones start to shake. The rattling. You can imagine it. A whole field full of shaking and rattling bones. Must have started off soft and then become deafening. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Do we ever have experiences like this in our life? Yes. Are we ever ourselves, okay, it's an analogy. a field of dry bones. We don't show signs of life. Yes, we're breathing. Yes, we're moving around. Yes, we're checking our mail. We're doing those kind of things. But what does God define life as? We're supposed to be taking care of the world around us. That includes our neighbor. But all that's actually out of response for us putting God number one in our lives. So life looks like us centering our world around God. And then in response, living out into the world and showing His love. So I will ask again, do we ever resemble a valley of dry bones? Have you ever resembled, have I ever resembled scattered dead bones in that valley? I certainly have. But God has a solution to that. I want to read to you some words. We don't get the same exact prophecy that Ezekiel casts out to the dry bones. He doesn't say, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." But we do get something else. I want to read to you word for word what we hear. I got to step back up here because I left my hymnal. If you would, open your hymnal up to page 270. Front. Page 270. The rite of holy baptism. Remember when you used to say 270 in the hymnal and you had to say page 270 or number 270? Yeah, not anymore. It's all the same. 270. You can tell the old Lutherans by the ones who just nodded yes automatically and the other ones who went, "Huh, what are you talking about?" Middle of the page. Pastor addresses the candidate and asks the following question. Do you renounce the devil? And the candidate replies, do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes,
keep them open for a minute. In Ezekiel's vision, in his prophecy, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. I've been there. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going about my day. I'm just barely living in the world. I'm filling the day, I'm filling my 24 hours, I'm filling my 60 minutes an hour, I'm filling my 60 seconds a minute. But am I really living? Is there really the breath of God in me? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to see who else here has days like that. Maybe it would be a little more accurate if I asked for a show of hands that says, who's never had a day like that? And then whoever raised their hands, we get to see who the liars are, right? No. We've all had days like that. We get to come before God and hear His word proclaimed. We show up at divine service and we confess because God is merciful and great and we know that He's going to forgive us. We get to confess that I by nature am sinful and unclean. I'm dead. I'm walking around without life. God asks the questions, do you renounce the devil and his ways? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? But it doesn't stop there, does it? The first time we got asked those questions, there was another little joint question. It was either, well, to most of us here, we were baptized as babies. I know there were a few folks that were old enough to be asked the question directly. There are a few of you here in this room. I know because I baptized a few of you when you were old enough to hear this question. Do you desire to be baptized? And then when that happens, what's it say next there in the hymnal? Yeah, yes, I do. And then God, using your name, we call it a baptismal name for a reason, because earlier in the service, they say, how do you desire to have this child named? The Christian name, and then they give the name, and then the first time it's ever actually used officially is right here. So your name was said, and you were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The equivalent from Ezekiel's narrative, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, the breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. We'll get to that in a minute. The Word of God in our lives, whether it is the words of I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, whether it is the words of God that Pastor Perez spoke earlier, saying, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, is not only a life-giving word, it is the breath of life. The English translation here in Ezekiel loses a little something with all this talk about no breath, no life, no whatever. The word here used in Ezekiel is actually ruach. That's the Hebrew. I want everybody to say it. Ruach. And it's down in the throat. Yeah, Phil got it. I could hear it. It's that guttural. That it makes you sound like you're having to get a little mucus up. Ruach. It means wind. It means breath. It means spirit. Animation, Spirit of God. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, that's that word. It's the same word that God breathed into Adam. It's the same word that Jesus, when he's teaching Nicodemus, and he says, you do not see where the ruach goes, the wind blows. Now we get the Greek translation for that. But you remember, Jesus was a Hebrew. He was probably speaking either Hebrew or Aramaic, which would have used that word ruach. We receive the breath of life in us when we receive God's word. And it does something to us. We truly do become the body of Christ. We truly do become alive. Whether we feel it or not, whether sometimes we feel like we may just be trodden along a valley of dry bones. Dry bones among them. You have received God's word. You have received His Spirit. And that's why we show up here again week after week or multiple times a week like now in Lent to get recharged, to receive the Spirit so that we can be reminded, reanimated as the body of Christ. There's a one-word answer for the question that I'm about to ask. And I do want you guys to actually vocalize the answer. What did the bones do to initiate all this action? Nothing. What do we do to initiate all this wonderful action of God on our part? Nothing. God calls. You notice the very first thing we do in service? Is it something that we do? No. It's God calling His service to order. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's God. It's saying, okay, this we're doing in His name. It's Him talking now. He talks, we listen. He talks, we respond. We'll talk more about that in Bible class, actually. Talking about divine service. Good stuff. But the idea is throughout our lives, the world would convince us through the storms, through the battle, through the dry winds, through the sin in the world, in our families, in our churches, in our lives, in our hearts, would convince us that we are nothing more than dead, dry bones. That's what Satan wants you to believe. And the thing is that's what Ezekiel saw when he looked out over the valley. But God saw something else. God saw His people. And with His word, made it so. The rattling came up. Bone came to bone. Sinew attached bone to bone. And the breath of life was breathed in them. And the breath of life is also breathed into you on this and every day. Amen.